How does your stock price go down when you beat earnings? It blows my mind. Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show, the podcast on how to make you successful. I'm talking about Zscaler. Great company, great stock. I was totally high on it. And watching their earnings report yesterday, they beat expectations, they beat earnings. And what happens to their stock? I think it dropped at 1.7% and after hours when that was announced. Man, I tell you, that market is fickle sometimes and frustrating to say the least. But that goes to show you, and a good reminder, that you shouldn't just assume that a stock price is going to go up if it has a beat, and which means that you shouldn't be taking risky bets and just hoping that they have an earnings beat and then you think you're going to get a payoff, because even if they do beat it, you may not get a payoff and you might lose some money. So be wise. Don't take the risks as much as possible. Take calculated risk. Take risks that make sense for your risk level. If you want to contact me, you have any questions, comments, want to follow me on the social media sites, especially mine, so you can find me at How to Build a Tent. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. We are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com. Put in HTBT in the memo field and you'll get a great 15-ounce mug. 15 ounces is a big mug. That's a lot of coffee. In the case today, it's some scotch. I have the kiddo asleep on his nap and the wife is out doing errands and I am recording on my own, celebrating but I just decided to have some scotch with my podcast today. But go over to Fight Laugh Feast Network, put in HTBT in the memo field, come alongside of us as we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life, get great content, you get a free mug, and you're coming alongside of us as the Lord is working through us, and it's just a blessing to be a part of what the Lord is doing. So don't miss out on that. Speaking of Fight Laugh Feast, did you see me on the show? No, you didn't see me because I called in on the phone, but you could have heard me on the phone on Wednesday's Cross Politic. If you haven't checked that out, go over there. They have all the shows, including two new shows that are going to be on the network. Very exciting. I'm telling you, this network is growing. I'm so thankful for all of you who listen to these shows, who do subscribe. It wouldn't be possible without you. We wouldn't get to where we are without you, without the Lord blessing it. And so thank you. Praise God. And thank you guys for all of your support. Another thing that's kind of network news. The G3 conference is coming up January 16th through 18th in 2020. Wow, 2020. I remember reading books in the 80s and 90s about like sci-fi and I shouldn't admit this on the air, but I love sci-fi books. And I remember reading books about 2020 and how we'd be like living in space by then. It is a trip to think that we are going to be in 2020 next year. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. As some of you know, one of my favorite lines to say. There's the G3 conference. It's going to be on worship. I know the Cross Politic guys are going to be there. I'm going to be there. And I think some of the other shows are going to be there too. So don't miss out. There's some early registration discounts. And again, that's January 16th through 18th, the G3 conference. It's in Atlanta. I love it. It's going to be really close to where I'm living, like one state away. And I have some friends and family up in Atlanta, so I get to see them and be at the conference. And hey, if you go, you can come say hi to me. I'd love to see you. Come up, say hi to me. Please, I'd love to meet as many of you as possible. So prayerfully consider coming down there and meeting all of us. Hopefully all of us on the Fight Laugh Feast Network will be there. And we'll have a good time coming together as Christians to celebrate and to learn more about worship and praising our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so now I have, just for those of you who listen, who don't want to start a business, don't have a career, don't care about investing, and you're like, Matt, when are you ever going to talk about something that is relevant to me? Well, here you go. Stop quitting your apps on your iPhone. Apparently, it turns out it takes more energy to quit your apps, the hard exit out of your apps, like when you swipe up and they close. It takes more energy to open them than to freeze them, that is, when you go to another screen on your app. then to unfreeze them. So when you are closing out of your apps trying to save battery space, it's really costing you more energy, more battery life than if you would have just frozen it on the background, gone to another app, and then come back to it. I didn't know that, and I was thought I was being diligent and trying to save my battery life, closing out apps when I'm done, but it turns out I've been doing it wrong this whole time. And your iPhone works completely different than your laptop. Who would have known? I'm telling you, you always got to keep learning in life, especially with technology. There's always going to be things to learn. I just kept on with the laptop mentality or the computer mentality that when you're done with something, you want to close it so it doesn't take up memory. But apparently iPhones don't work that way. So there you go. A mini segment, some useful information for you to be successful on your iPhone and battery life. If you're an Android user and not a business person or not care about investing, then that's not for you either, so I'm sorry. But thank you for listening, even though the topics aren't relevant to you at all. Just kidding. Thank you for listening seriously, though. I had a great conversation with a friend of mine. He's a colonel in the Army. And it was about investing in real estate. And it was a really great conversation. And it just so happened that a few of you, no later than a couple days after that conversation, started asking me about real estate investing and wanting a show about that and asking if you could point me to a show. Which, by the way, I am so thankful for when you guys are just assuming I've done a show on everything already and you guys are asking me a question and not expecting me to even answer it, but just asking me to point you to the show I talk about something. That is nice because I don't have to write a very long email, even though I do because I love talking with you guys. But and then it's just kind of like a compliment, like you think I've talked about all this stuff. But I don't think I've talked about this yet, and I know I haven't talked about what my friend and I discussed because that was only a week or two ago. So I want to kind of talk about that right now because real estate is a pretty conservative investment and it is probably one of the more lower risk things that you could invest in if you do it right, in my opinion. And so it might be a really, really viable thing for you guys to do. If you are like my friend in the military, one of the things he's done, and I know some of you are in the military, you reach out to me, and that's awesome. Thank you again for your service. And so the one of the things that they do, or what he does, I should say, that you could do as well if you are in the military, is when you are stationed somewhere, he was stationed every 3 years pretty much, that he would use his COLA, the cost of living allowance, which, if for those of you not in the military, that you get a certain amount of living depending on where you're at, or a certain amount of funds in addition to your salary. In Hawaii, it's like astronomical amount because it's expensive to live here. But what he would do is he would find a house and buy it, and he wouldn't live on base. He wouldn't rent a place. And he would look for a place, not that he wanted, really, not that he wanted like for a dream home or somewhere he could think that he would stay forever, but find a place that people in his position would want to rent after the 3 years when he left. Because he knows the position isn't really going away there, that someone else is going to fill that position. And so he wouldn't look for a place that he liked the most. He would look for the place that would get the best cash flow month to month for him. And he had a completely different mindset about it, where he wasn't looking for himself, he was looking for his future renters and what place would be the easiest for him to rent. And now, if you are not in the military and you don't have a COLA, that's okay, you can do the same. Maybe you're looking to buy a first-time house, but you have a long-term strategy of wanting to buy a house for now. Turn that into a rental property, save up the cash from that cash flow, and invest it in another property and start building your portfolio of properties like that. That could be another option as well. So it's just another strategy to think about and to consider. Another aspect to consider in this that he talked about, which is a really good point, is don't worry or think so much about the appreciation of the property or the future value of the property. Think of it more in terms of cash flow, or do think of it completely in terms of cash flow month to month. And he says you need to factor in a few different things. First thing, you want to factor in 10% for maintenance. Things are going to break that you are responsible to repair. the tenants are going to break things that you're going to have to repair. Plumbing issues, electrical issues, all those things, you should just factor in 10% a month for the maintenance. Another consideration is a maintenance fee, or management fee, excuse me. Now, either you're going to hire a company to do it, or you're going to do it yourself, which is going to require time. You should still add in a 10% management fee so that you have that factored in case you ever do want to have a management company take care of your property. So you add those 20% on top of your mortgage rate that you would have, and then you would compare the rents in the area and see how much you could get for that property. And then you would make a decision on, is that enough cash flow? Does that make sense for your specific risk tolerance to buy that property? And you'll see how much cash flow you have month to month. And you take that extra cash and you save it and you invest it in other things. Either save it up for another house, invest it in the stock market, invest it in a company, but then use your cash flow to leverage future investments. And that's how you generate and build up wealth. Now, when you are calculating expenses, be very liberal. Think that you're going to have more costs than you are going to have, because you will, according to my friend, and I believe him. And then also, be very conservative with how much you think you're going to get for rent. Be on the low end, because then you'll have the worst case scenario priced in, and you won't be surprised. And if it turns out your expenses are less than you estimated, and your rent is more than you thought you could get, then you're going to be in a pleasant surprise, which will be a really nice thing. The second thing you need to know or think about is know your renter. What price point and what type of person is going to be renting at the price point you're offering, the location you're at. And that's important because that's going to impact how many repairs you have to do, if you're going to have to go through evictions, how much lost rent you're going to have if people just walk away or file bankruptcy. There's a whole bunch of other considerations to think about. And the last thing, one of the things that he's done, which is kind of interesting, is he's built up so much cash from all these different properties, is that he started to buy or make offers on foreclosed homes. I forgot what it's called, but basically they're low income housing where he's become a slumlord basically. But the federal government guarantees a large portion of the rent, which reduces the risk tolerance. So it's low income housing, but he got to buy it in cash, and he's going to have a long term guaranteed cash flow month to month. So if you have a large amount of cash, you might want to look for areas around you that you can keep an eye on. And look for places where you're going to have that kind of security, where the federal government's going to insure a certain amount of the rent, so you don't have to worry so much about the risk of your tenants. So those are some tips that we talked about that I thought was just really great. Again, I think investing in real estate is a great way to build wealth, especially if you have cash on hand to do that. Another subject that we have often talked about is language and how important it is. It really is incredibly important on so many levels. You need to keep in mind how your nonverbals are communicating a message, how your tone is communicating a message, how your words obviously are creating a message, and all of those things working together is how you're going to be the most effective in communicating. And I was reading, it was another article, and it was a blog. And they were talking about things to say and not to say. One of the things they said not to say when you're talking to a coworker, peer, colleague, wife, is, especially a wife, you look tired. You look really terrible. Things like that. Now, I think that is kind of obvious. None of us like to hear you look tired. It's like, oh, gee, thanks. You're telling me I look like crap. I appreciate that. But, like, so we know that. But, like, so what do you say instead? And a great way to say or replace that kind of offensive language is, how are you doing? And even though you may think they look tired, and maybe they actually do look tired, just being able to take a second and rearrange what you are wanting to ask, wanting to say in a way that's not going to be offensive and come off judgmental will really help you in life, in all areas of your life, not just at work, but in your relationships too. It's amazing. And it's amazing to me also how many people do not think through what they're going to say before they say it. And you're like, oh, that's conniving, or oh, that's so manipulative when you're thinking through and controlling and trying to manipulate people and how you think. Well, no, it's actually just learning how to love people and learning how to, you know, show them kindness and be effective in what you're doing. Manipulative is controlling people and getting them to do things you'd want to. Well, that's a good question. Like, is manipulation even getting people to do things and coercing them to do good things or bad things? I always think of manipulation as this negative connotation, or you're like, or a negative activity where you're manipulating people into doing things that are bad for them, for you, or for whatever reason. More than like, you know, when you try to get people, manipulate people to do good things, isn't that like coaching? Isn't that like being encouraging and motivating? So I guess it's just how you frame that. But anyways, taking a couple seconds extra and not just speaking what's on your mind, but actually thinking through how what you're saying is going to come off is going to help you in a lot of different situations. Another thing that people do that you should take note of and make sure that you don't do this as well, and I've been guilty of this as well, is when you generalize, you always, you never. And that is just something you should never say and never tell somebody, because no one ever does something all the time. No one ever is monolithic, and people don't like being viewed that way. And I bring that up because the more that you can view somebody the way they identify themselves, the more success you're going to have in that relationship. That's really important. If you are viewing somebody in a way that they don't view themselves, there's going to be a lot of clashing. Now, that gets tricky when they are wrong and they are in error, and that takes a lot of, you know, prayer and love and kindness. But the more that you can relate to them and talk to them in a way that they see themselves, the more effective you're going to be. And the last phrase that they were discussing that I thought was worth mentioning is when they say, or when you can say something like, as I said before. That is, when you are repeating yourself, maybe, well, oftentimes when you say, as I've said before, you're annoyed and it's obnoxious that the child, maybe your coworker, even your boss, doesn't listen, doesn't remember. But the truth is, as a leader, you are going to have to repeat things. And as not a leader, too, as a follower, you may have to repeat things. And that's okay. And you will just be way ahead of the game. You won't get as annoyed. You won't get as frustrated when you just accept that you work with humans, that you lead humans, that you work for humans, that you're raising humans, and we all don't have perfect memories. My wife has a perfect memory, and it gets me in trouble all the time. But most people do not have a perfect memory. And so you are going to often have to repeat yourself. I mean, even Peter in the Bible says, as we've made mention before, or as we've made reference to before, constantly bringing things to, repeating things could be a good thing. Now, don't be somebody who has been told what to do and you never do it, or you don't change and then they get annoyed with you. But I'm talking about like repeating a vision, repeating the instructions, keeping a goal in the front of your mind and constantly talking about it. Think about it even like with praise and worship and constantly repeating how good God is. That is helpful for your psyche, that's helpful for your soul as well as your brain. And so too with your vision, when you're communicating that, when you're communicating a goal, when you're communicating an important objective, the more you repeat it, the more top of mind it is, and it impacts more than just your cognitive ability. So don't be afraid to repeat what you're saying with grace, clarity, and hopefully some passion to motivate people. Now, a little more good news on the economy. If the economy keeps on pace until July, it will be the longest period of expansion on record for the United States, 10 years and 1 month. And also some more good news, last quarter revised up from 3% growth to 3.1% GDP growth, which is awesome. If we could be just doing 3% a quarter, that is pretty amazing for how long we've been going. But there is another country that puts our 10-year record to shame. Do you know what country has a 27-year record without a recession? A recession is two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. What country has the longest record, or 27 years without a recession? Don't Google it, just take a guess. I bet you'll never guess it. I never guessed it. Australia. And I mean, let's just give a little clapping and some appreciation or kudos to 27 years going strong. That's absolutely amazing. And it's amazing for us too, 10 years. I mean, that's a pretty good run as well. And it looks like 3% growth. I know there's some forecast of this quarter being a lot slower, but I feel like there's just a lot of negative naysayers going on. And of course, the trade war and all that stuff. But to me, it still seems like the fundamentals are strong. And, you know, take that for what it's worth. I am not an expert in the economy. I am an economist by hobby, not by profession or expertise. But I just think when you look at the fundamentals, it looks good. Sentiment is up. Interest rates are extremely low right now. So that's going to help with the home buying situation. And that is going to help with people's confidence as well. All right, now let's go out and be successful. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday. God bless.